This is Matt from Star Wars in Character and Neozaz.com. It's nomination time for the 2011 Podcast Awards, and Star Wars in Character needs your help to get us on this year's ballot. To help, please visit www.podcastawards.com and nominate Star Wars in Character in the Entertainment category for the 2011 Awards. Nominations are being accepted from now until September 30th, 2011. Everyone on Star Wars in Character and at Neozaz.com appreciate your continued support, and thanks everyone for listening. You saw Phantom Menace 10 times?
10 times in the theater.
Holy shit.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Senator Grebleeps. Dave smiling. Senator Grebleeps.
Makes one of us.
I was waiting for you to say it wrong. Is what I was
for real?
Today we're talking about Senator Grape Lips.
That's my girlfriend.
Senator Grape Nuts.
Two scoops.
This Senator Grebleeps appears in The Phantom Menace, episode 1 of the Star Wars saga. My name is Geonocris.
Is you, not bad.
No, that was pretty good. That was an honest laugh.
Some of them are from some fans.
Scott.
I don't know if that's one of them. But
if we ever have a payroll, Scott will be on it for this portion of the show. You would not have to worry about this anymore.
Now,
and by payroll, I mean t-shirts.
These next two from Matt and Dave, I came up with this, and I like it a lot, but it might be really stupid. Ready for this? It's a combination of you guys' names. Ready?
Oh, all right.
All right.
I'm joined by the Forest Matt of Endave. Is that good, Matt?
No.
Oh.
Endave is okay.
Yeah,
Forest Matt. What is
the Forest Matt of Endave?
Why don't you just call me Walrus Matt Man, Walrus Matt Man? Again.
I went already.
Punda Matta.
Ooh, write that down.
Ooh.
I said that before, too, and you haven't used it. It's like when you suggest a character for Tim to do.
Oh. And speaking about Tim, we got Tim 4.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had to think about that one for a
Dave's
second.
His reaction was the best part of that one. Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, I didn't know what it was at first.
Tim. Tim 4.
I still don't get it.
Yes.
You don't get it, man?
Oh, Yavin. Okay. I was thinking Tantive or whatever the ship's name was. Okay. Or Tantive.
Give us some facts about Creepy Leapies.
All right.
Well, that was the funniest thing you said in the intro.
Well, oh my God. Well, Senator Grebleeps, he is the senator from the planet Brodo Asagi or Asagi. I'm not sure exactly how it's pronounced. He's the ET senator.
Wait.
But apparently his planet also has several other names. These are all the same planet. The different names that I found for this planet are Volmestra, Odipa 5, Tumlux Otai, Alata Zerka. But apparently they all translate to the same thing, green planet.
Okay, that was. I think you may have kind of started answering my question. I was going to say, why does it have so many names? Or is that just different alien interpretations of the name, like Spain and Espana?
Yeah, it's like, we call it Germany and they call it Deutschland.
Okay,
it's the same thing. All right. I'm assuming that all of these are just different languages referring to Greepy Leapy's planet. But his species doesn't really have an official name. They're only known as Children of the Green Planet.
Okay.
So,
well, I remember when after E.T. came out, there was a book, and I remember trying to read this book and never finishing it, but it was called like The Green Planet, and it was basically take place right after E.T. took off and went back to his home world, and it was like this planet. They kind of described it like Endor, and it had all this like lush vegetation and all kinds of like strange mushrooms and that kind of stuff. So these are all the same creature, right? From the Steven Spielberg movie and these guys.
These are supposed to be the same creature, basically making E.T., the extraterrestrial, a spinoff of Star Wars. So, yeah. Greb Leap's, there's not a whole lot to this character. I chose it because I was kind of curious what kind of ridiculous storylines they would put with this character just being in there, being put in as an Easter egg. And there's not much.
You know, I gotta say, before you get too far into this, Tim, I gotta say this up front in case I'm really quiet or I have many outbursts. E.T. is my number one childhood nightmare. And every time Chris plays that, I get a slight chill up my spine. That thing scared the living shit out of me, and to this day, I still scares the shit out of me. In fact, my wife will force me to go on the ride at Universal every time I go, just to laugh at me because it creeps. There's going to be a day where I freak out on that ride and just jump off the stupid bike and run the hell out of there.
Doesn't it say your name on
Yes. it? Yes. Like, oh, and it says it's so fucking creepy too, man. Oh, I just freaked myself out for God's sakes. So I've been dreading.
I always loved E.T., man.
Me too.
As a kid, I remember I dressed up as E.T. for Halloween.
I've been dreading this episode, and in a way, I'm glad we're getting it the hell over with.
You knew it was coming.
I knew. In fact, I think when we had an initial discussion about doing this episode or this podcast, this name came up. And ever since then, it's been in the back of my head that one day I'm going to be freaked the fuck out during an episode. And here we are.
You'll be editing this episode and having nightmares and blacking out. It'll take you 2 weeks.
Dave, I might be teaching you how to edit here shortly. So and you're going to cut your teeth on this episode so I don't have to listen to it again.
I love this crossover stuff. I love
so
it.
Do I.
I love the fact that, you know, in E.T. there was the little kid dressed as Yoda at Halloween walking down the street, and the kid in the costume sees the kid in the costume, and he starts going home, and he starts walking towards the Yoda.
Yeah.
It was always a joke in that one, but like it's almost like this very short scene of 2.6 seconds. explains that scene in E.T. Maybe E.T. really did recognize Yoda there on the street in Southern California.
I actually read that they did it as a favor for when Spielberg used the Star Wars action figures in E.T. Lucas said one day I'll have as E.T. one of my movies, one of my Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's a man of his word.
It's so easy to say those things in retrospect, though, too. It's like, did that really ever actually happen?
It's debatable.
Exactly.
It's
debatable.
That is a cool part of E.T., though, when he first brings E.T. into his room and he's showing him all the crap in his room. And he's like, this is Walrus Man and Greedo. I remember sitting there going, yeah, I got those too, man. Like, this is freaking awesome.
This is Walrus Man Matt. And over here, this is the planet Matt of N. Dave. Sorry.
It's funny you guys talk about E.T. and you guys know all these scenes. I've only seen E.T. once. I saw it once in the theaters back in 1982. That's the only time I've ever seen E.T., but I remember just about every scene in that movie. It was a very influential movie, but I've only seen it that one time, and it's been almost 30 years since that came out.
It's always on cable. I watched it with the kids a lot, man, and it's still touching.
I have not watched it in decades. I have no intention of ever watching it again.
This Halloween, Christy's going to strap you down and force you to watch it.
You had me up until watch it.
Well, I
love this crossover stuff. And I was, like Chris said, like the fact that I knew that these two guys that pretty much, I mean, I don't want to give them too much credit here, but kind of helped shape at least my childhood, and probably all of ours to a certain extent. I always loved the idea that these guys were not only partners and collaborators, but they seemed to be
best friends.
And I always thought that was so, so awesome. I mean, who knows? They could have been hanging out together, double teaming Kate Capshaw. But
wow, you know, that actually creeps me out more than E.T.
It just the fact that these two guys that I loved their films and their writing and the fact that they were you know in cahoots, I just always loved that. So anytime anything like this happened, so when this happened in episode one and they showed those guys for those 2.6 seconds, I was like so on board with that. I was like finally there's something in this movie worth watching.
You guys actually remember, if you saw it when you saw the movie in theaters for the first time, you saw E.T. immediately?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Well, one, I never saw Phantom Menace in theaters, I'm proud to say. But it took me I remember hearing about that, and I kind of had my eyes open for it. I didn't know what I was looking for when I first saw the movie. So I missed it the first time, and I think I missed it in a couple scrubbings. It took some searching for me to find it. So how the hell did people see this, or how many times did they watch this movie to see it when that was, you know, let out into the world?
Like, I don't know if we knew this. Like, when this movie came out, did we all know that before we sat down in the theater?
I saw Phantom Menace three times on opening day.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I went to the midnight screening, then I got up super early and went to a 7 a.m. screening of this movie. But I don't remember if I saw it the first screening, but I do remember seeing it in one of those first three screenings. Cause I just remember like, oh my God, I think. And also in that same scene, there's also a shot where it looks like there is a George Lucas and a Steven Spielberg sitting in one of those pods.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, that's kind of funny.
At least that's what it looks like to me. I've never, there's never been any like other confirmation other than just what I think it is. No one's ever said that that's supposed to be George Lucas and Steven Spielberg sitting in a pod, but that's what it looks like to me.
Tim, it was Joey Fatone and Lance Bass.
And that Indian chick that was saying, ooh, Jedi.
Ooh, Jedi. Yeah. Well, I don't know. They made such a big deal over George Lucas appearing in episode three as a character. I was always like, well, what about in episode one where he was sitting in the pod? It's like, well, was that not George Lucas? So I don't know.
You may have been one of the first people to actually see that, Tim, because like Chris said, I mean, I take all my cues with this stuff from you guys. Like, you guys are the guys that tell me about this shit, and then I go back and look for it. Like with Chris and his Blu-rays now, like, I'm just kind of following his lead. So when I'm sure I heard it from Chris, I was lucky enough to have been working at a movie theater, so I didn't have to, you know, lay down another ticket price to go see it. But I was wondering how much of this is, maybe there's a secret agenda of them trying to get even more repeat business. Like, if you tell somebody something like that, they're like, really? I really want to see that. And so maybe they go see it a second time, because there wasn't just that. There were other things in there too. There was a scene with the Millennium Falcon flying into a spaceport or something.
That was the third one, wasn't it?
I thought that was in episode one. I mean, it may have been, but there was always something going on.
Easter eggs going on.
Yeah, where they did these things probably as little touches and nods to friends and inside jokes, but also probably knew in the back of their mind, we're going to make some extra, you know, quiche off of this, because these dorks are going to want to see the TNT.
I remember I saw it 10 times in the theater.
What
I saw it at the at your theater, Dave. I was there for the first screening.
You saw Phantom Menace 10 times?
10 times in the
Holy
theater.
Holy shit. Oh my God. I don't even know what to say to that. I have up to how long has that movie been out now? 11, 12 years?
No, it's been out almost 12 years.
I haven't seen it. I've seen it now twice. And one was a punishment on myself.
Punishment.
Literally, it was a punishment. I mean, I'll tell the story quick. I don't know what the fuck happened. I think I was talking to Chris throughout the day. Somehow I found myself in possession of having bought the Blu-ray set without even knowing I bought it. It's like, how the fuck did where did this come from? And I looked at the receipt. I'm like, that's my credit card number. What happened? So I had to punish myself, and I'm not allowed to watch any of the good stuff till I get through the prequels. I'm only 10 minutes into Attack of the Clones. That's how long it's taken me, and I've had them for a week.
No, I saw it 10 times, and every time every time I saw episode one, there would always be something new I would take from it. There would always be like a quick shot or a character or something that I would take from it. But yeah, I do remember I saw it opening night, and I also saw the final screening there at the theater that Dave worked at. I was there that night for the final screening. I didn't know it was the final screening. It just happened to be there.
Oh, I was going to say, did you cry?
A little bit.
I did too when I just watched it this weekend or this week. I can't believe you cried watching when this.
That first Star Wars thing came on screen. But no, I mean, of the prequels, honestly, that the not to get on a prequel rant, but the Phantom Menace is my favorite one because I just attach that whole time period and the memories of the release of episode one. So that one is the one that I like the best in terms of memories. Probably the best made one was episode three. Anywho.
You're such an idiot. no offense.
Well, we all have our own personal tastes, I guess. Some can be questionable.
Yep.
I know a lot of people have questioned my tastes, not only on Star Wars, but on lots of other films.
Oh, that's awesome. The giggle episode.
Anywho. Well, Greb Leaps. Now we're getting back to Greb Leaps now. His main thing that he did during his time as a senator, he did two main things. The first thing was he made a lot of waves when he decided that they were going to send an extra galactic expedition from his homeworld to seek other life in other galaxies. So that's E.T.
That's E.T. Yeah, okay, I get it.
E.T. was the expedition. The only other thing that he did was he was part of this petition, which was the Delegation of 2000, whose goal was to have Emperor Palpatine, or I should say, he was at the time he was Chancellor Palpatine, give up his emergency powers nearing the end of the Clone Wars, which he did not. Obviously, he then declared himself Emperor. This is Palpatine declares himself Emperor, and then he had Greb Leaps arrested and imprisoned for conspiracy and treason, and then presumably Greb Leaps was executed.
Really?
Ending the story of this very, very fascinating character.
Why? What did he do? Because of that 2000 club or whatever thing you're telling me about? Because of that?
I guess.
Oh my God, yeah. That's so harsh.
He was first. Maybe he was like the John Hancock. He wrote Senator Greb Leaps really big, so his name was really recognizable.
Well, I was going to say now, you know, for a character I've been dreading to talk about, I'm actually a little upset about that. That seems pretty...
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I was going to ask you about that because when he's in that scene and they're calling for the vote of no confidence, the three ETs, whatever their species is, they're all like jumping around and yelling and shit. I mean, I thought they were supposed to be nice, and they look like they're right on board with everybody to get get Valorum out of there and get Palpatine in. So now you're saying later he's a part of this whatever 700 club or whatever you call it.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
He's part of the 7 Oral Roberts and him.
Yeah. And no. And then he wants him out. So like did they have like a change of heart, because he looks like he's on board with this whole no confidence thing. I mean, they're like bloodthirsty just like the Wookiees and everybody else that's jumping around like an idiot in those scenes.
I guess they just got caught up in the mob. Like everybody was like, yeah, down with Valorum. And they're like moving their heads up and down and with their long arms and just going E.T. crazy there in their little pod. But but yeah, I guess as the war was going on, as the Clone Wars were going on and Palpatine was continuing to accumulate emergency powers and not relinquishing anything, they and along with, I'm assuming, 1,999 other delegates decided to do a petition to request of Palpatine to give up his emergency powers. Hmm. I don't know who the other 2,000 people were that signed this, or 2,000 individuals were. I just know he was one of them, and he was singled out, at least, and was arrested in prison and presumably executed.
How'd they kill him?
They turned off his heart rate.
All the plants died around him.
Well, I mean, I know there's three dudes in that pod, and do you know which one is Greb Leaps? And really what my question is do the other two have names, and are they also nods to somebody else? Like Greb Leaps is Spielberg backwards, is that right?
Yes.
So
no, the other two don't have names.
We should
and I'm not really sure which one is Greb Leaps. I'm assuming he's the one that's furthest to the front lip of the pod.
I actually thought that was their species. Greb Leaps.
Greb Leaps?
No, it says he's Senator nope. Greb Leaps. That's his name.
I think one of them's name is Assistant Olapak.
Olapak?
Olapak. Think about it.
Olapak. Coppola.
Yep.
Did you just make that up?
Yes, I did.
Because that's why I asked. I wanted to know if like one of them, I don't know, you know, like...
who's next?
Yeah, like, what's his face? 2001 A Space Odyssey. Spielberg's a big
Kubrick.
Fan. Yeah, like, one of them's Kubrick backwards or something like that, or Scorsese or something. Ooh, like that.
Scorsese backwards.
No, no, I didn't notice names for the other two. I just for Greb Leaps.
I'm trying to figure out how to say Tarantino backwards, but that's a tough one.
And why? I mean, they're, like, naked. I mean, these guys. Like, they're senators. There's no, like, senatorial robes. They're just, like...
And they would all hang out.
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so are the Wookiees.
That's true.
Yeah, but they got some fur covering up there.
Yeah.
They're jangle goods.
Jangle goods.
But then again, I mean, we don't see any, you know, twig and berries on E.T. in the E.T. movies
That's
either.
That's true. Yep.
They just, maybe they just like go up.
They might be, you know, born from plant pods or something. They're like all big in the plants, according to the ride.
They just touch fingers. But that's all I have for the story for him. All the behind the scenes information is as we already mentioned, the inclusion of E.T. and the Phantom Menace is presumed to have occurred at Spielberg's suggestion, and it was in response possibly to Spielberg including Yoda in his E.T. And the species has only been mentioned briefly in a couple EU books. One was Cloak of Deception, which I think is the one that had Chancellor Valorum on the cover. And they were shown in the background of a comic book for Star Wars Republic.
I saw that on trying to find this, you know, my site submission. I saw someone scanned that picture and I saw that. That was kind of funny. And they were just like they were very background. They were like silhouette shadows or something.
Exactly. Yeah, they were just off in the background. Not really anything going on back there. Just them jumping around and waving their hands in the air.
Yep.
But anyway, that's all I got. Oh well, actually, you know what? There is another E.T. Star Wars connection. The voice of E.T. back in the 1982 film was by an actor or actress, Pat Welsh, and she was the voice of E.T., but she was also the voice of Boosh, the bounty hunter Boosh in Return of the Jedi, so that's a little connection. Wow. Another connection there between E.T. and Star Wars.
They do kind of sound the same. That's pretty interesting.
That's pretty damn cool, yeah.
It is cool.
Like a picture. I always thought, I mean, there was always like the urban legend that it was Deborah Winger. And then
I looked for that, yeah.
That would never turn out to be true, but it was supposed to be this old woman who had been like a lifelong smoker, and her voice surely, you know, showed it. So that's Boosh, huh?
That's the same actress, Boosh. Yep. She was discovered by Ben Burt while he was in a camera shop. He heard her speak, and he thought that she was
while was roaming the cancer ward.
she actually lived quite a while. She was born in 1915 and she died in 1995. So she was a ripe old age of 80 when she passed away.
Oh, okay. And you guys never met her?
No. She was pre Star Wars resurgence for us.
Yeah.
Yoto.
That Boosh. Yeah. Zebus.
Yeah.
Yate. Yate.
Phone home.
And that's all I got.
Yay.
Yay. That was great. That was great, Tim.
Thanks.
Now, we're with the fun part.
Senator Grab Beeps.
Crappy.
I don't know.
What's, is there any websites for you, Matt?
Best one I could find was actually, it only has a mention of him, but it was kind of an interesting article. It was on it's actually on a fairly popular site, and they have their own podcast too, I believe. It's from How Stuff Works, and it's about the Star Wars galaxy, and they kind of talk about where these planets are, and they map them out and talk about, you know, how these, you know, trade routes and whatnot that they've always talked about, and even mention the Senator Gribbleep's planet and how that fits into all this too. So that's it was a decent mention. The article's not about Senator Gribbleep, but he's mentioned it, and the article itself is interesting. So that's what I'll put up on the on our show notes. It's these How the Star Wars Galaxy Works and How Stuff Works.
Very good.
E.T.
Well, Chris, are you ready for some
hardcore
trivia?
Yes.
Action.
I'm ready to get it wrong.
Yay, trivia.
All right. Well, let's do a recap of the scores in our newfangled trivia, which is, if you're listening for the first time to this batch of trivia, what we're doing is you get a point, obviously, if you get it right. But if you get the question right without using the four multiple choice answers, you're going to be rewarded for it, or we will be rewarded for it, by getting 2 points rather than one. And the way the scores stand at the moment is that Chris, Tim, and Matt all have two.
Woohoo! Yay!
And I have one. So,
loser.
Aw. Yeah.
And Tim and Matt actually were able to tie the score by taking advantage.
Being awesome.
Yeah.
And that too.
Of the no multiple choice caveat to trivia. So, Chris, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you so upset?
Because whatever.
Whatever.
I get so worried then after the answer that, yeah, that was the answer.
All right. Well, your question is coming out of Revenge of the Sith. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about that. Yeah. You have nothing to complain about because your first two questions were from Empire Strikes Back. So here you go. The question is, what did Anakin's anger do according to Chancellor Palpatine?
Excuse me.
What was that, Dave?
What did Anakin's anger do according to Chancellor Palpatine? You're shaking your head. You're having trouble remembering the scene. What's going on in that beautiful head of yours?
Well, thank you. I'll have the choices, please.
Okay, so you're going to go for the 1 point.
Yeah, I'm only getting no points, but go ahead.
Okay, here are the choices. Is it A, it made him upset? B, it made him confused? C, it gave him focus and made him stronger? Or D, it made him violent and unorganized? Tim likes that one.
You're so violent and unorganized.
I'm gonna say this because it sounds like something he would say.
What are you saying?
I want to say it's C.
You're going with C. It gave him focus and made him stronger. Correct. Congratulations.
I got that one. Okay, good.
You did get it right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Do you remember the scene now?
A little bit, yeah, you know.
It's when he's kind of already revealed himself to Anakin that he is.
Whoa, wait, what?
He's already revealed himself, and Anakin is on his knees in front of him, and he's looking down at him.
You remember that.
Telling him to focus.
Yes.
All right, Tim, here's your question.
All right. Nice
job, Chris.
Thank you.
You have answered 3 questions correctly. You realize that.
Yeah, but I had help. I had multiple choices.
That's like 2 more than the last round.
Seriously. You're 3 for 3.
Thank you.
Congratulations. All right. Tim, your question is from Return of the Jedi.
Hi.
That's awesome.
Boing.
It's a little Jerry Lewis action there for you.
All right, here's your question.
Boom, 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 boom.
Who personally oversaw the final stages of the construction on the second Death Star?
Emperor Palpatine.
Look at this guy. He doesn't even hesitate. The person who personally oversaw the final stage of construction on the second Death Star, you're going with the Emperor.
I am going to go with the Emperor.
Tim, that's absolutely correct.
Yay!
Tim, you have
taken the lead.
Leapt into the lead with 4. Did you know that, Chris?
Are you sure?
No.
Well, congratulations, Tim.
Thank you.
Tim, you're not disappointing.
Good.
He likes it.
All right. Let me see here. Let me find a good one for Matt.
I thought it was completely random.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
I have to push the button, though.
Oh.
So, your question is going... Uh-oh, this is not looking good for you because this is going to be a Phantom Menace question.
Ooh.
And it is. How old was Obi-Wan Kenobi at the Battle of Naboo?
Oh, God. Even with multiple choice, I'm not going to have any idea what this is. Holy crap.
I think I know.
I think I don't care that you know.
That is the coolest shit I ever heard.
What's that?
That you just said, I don't care. That's your joke.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Give me the multiple choice. I have something to work with.
Okay. Was he A, 23, B, 25, C, 17, or D, 20?
You don't know that.
Wow.
You don't know that.
I don't know. 25. I'm going to guess 25.
You're going with 25 years old.
Yeah.
It's correct.
Hey.
Ooh.
All right, Matt.
Pretty good.
Staying with.
What is it, Dave?
Chris. You got the first one wrong, didn't you?
Yeah, so I'm with Chris. I got 2 last round and now 1 this round.
Chris and Matt have 3. Tim is in the lead with 4.
Oh my God, Dave, I feel so sorry for you.
What did I get? I got a Phantom Menace question?
Yes.
All right, I'm ready. I'm going to take my lumps here is what is going to happen.
All right, this is in what Malastarian city was Saboba born?
Holy shit. That's worse than mine.
That's
way worse.
Ridiculous.
In what Malastarian city was Saboba born?
Now, yes. Well, now, I'm going to read these, but, you know.
Well, how do you know I don't know? And you're just going to give me the multiple choice. Give me the multiple choice. Because Malastare, I think, is mentioned at least in a movie. You know, go ahead and give them to me. It's just going to be a guess at this point.
A... Pixlito, B, Pixel E Do, C, Pixuludo, and D, Pixelico.
Holy crap. That's like that. You got a question similar to that too, a round or two ago, where all the names were only like 1 letter off.
A, B, C, or D. Pixelico, 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 Pixelico.
All right, I'll just go with C.
Go with C.
Yeah. When in doubt.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Wait, let me see if I can hold stuff
in the bike.
Okay. What is that? Is that what that was? A no buzzer?
Yeah.
That sounded like a beef landed on the mic.
It was A, Dave. Pixelito.
Oh. All right, well, that's the way the game goes, I guess. So after 3 times through, Chris, you have 3. Tim has 4. Matt has 3, and I'm way in the basement with 1. I have to start taking guesses at some point, I guess. All right. Well, congratulations, Tim. You've taken the lead.
Great job, Tim.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Senator Greepy Lappy Leapy Leap Spielberg Greepy Lapies. That's his full name. Join us next time we discuss the Gamorrean Guard.
Ooh.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in character episodes and information.